will carry many scars. Written by Ranger Jedi 67. Read by Raven. Balin eyed Thorin carefully. His king was in a melancholy mood, despite the fact that he had managed to survive injuries everyone thought would be fatal. The princes, too, would mend, though Keeley was slower about it than anyone liked. Oin and Lord Elrond both said it was due to the injury he sustained as they fled the Greenwood. He'd already been badly wounded, and his body had still been healing from it. It did him no favors now, despite the bravery and dedication with which he'd fought. Feely had been moved, despite his protests, to a different tent as he recovered. Keeley needed more tending. Feely needed more rest, and the constant bustle around Keeley was a detriment to that. Oin allowed the compromise of Feely sitting with Keeley for a time each day, but it was well into the night now. Feely was long in bed, or so Balin hoped, as Thorin should have been.
"What is it, Balin?"
Thorin asked warily. Coming fully into the tent, Balin said, "It's late, Thorin. You're still healing, too. You need rest." Thorin shook his head.
"I am resting," he countered. "I have not left this chair in some time."
It was that sort of Thorin he'd be dealing with then. Fortunately, Balin had years of experience.
"What troubles you?" Balin asked.
Slumping, Thorin blew out a harsh breath.
"What doesn't?"
he asked. Balin racked his brain, trying to determine what of the day's events could have caused this mood.
"I slept for a time this afternoon," Thorin said finally. "The dreams were unpleasant."
His eyes turned back to Keeley's too still form. The lad had never been good at being still. It was unnatural to see him so now. Only knowing Oin's medicines were the cause helped.
"He was put into my arms when he was less than an hour old," Thorin whispered. "With his father gone, I vowed to fill the role, for him and Feely both, to the best of my abilities. This quest proved time and again how badly I failed."
Thorin faltered then. "He's so young. Balin, and he will carry many scars from this." Balin closed his eyes and let the reality of that sink in. Keeley was young, barely of age by the reckoning of their people. The decision to bring him on the quest hadn't been made lightly, but Balin knew it was one that would forever weigh heavily on Thorin's heart. But that didn't change a very important fact.
"You were younger when Smaug came," Balin pointed out. "Anna and Zandnuzabar, too. You, Frerin, and so many others."
Swallowing hard, Thorin bowed his head.
"And look how many we lost after Zandnuzabar. I vowed no one so young would need to fight as long as I was king," he whispered. "Another failure."
Balin stepped closer and rested a hand on his king, his friend's shoulder.
"This battle wasn't your fault. It was the orcs doing, Thorin. You cannot blame yourself for their hatred of us," Balin insisted. "As for Keeley, he proved himself valiantly, more than once. Both the boys did. Don't take that from them with guilt. You and Dis should be proud."
Thorin winced.
"Dis," he muttered. "Perhaps we need not bother planning a coronation for me and skip straight to the planning Feely's. Dis will kill me the moment she sees her boy's scars."
Dis was a strong, formidable woman. Balin did not envy Thorin having to face her.
"You are their king," Balin pointed out, "not just their uncle. As their king, you allowed your heirs to accompany you on a quest to reclaim our home. We all knew it would be dangerous, but her to blame you for their injuries is unfair."
Thorin started to speak, and Balin shook his head.
"I know she's their mother, and I'm not saying you didn't make decisions along the way that she has every right to be angry with you for, but they chose to accompany you and take the risk. Keeley fought with both of you for the right to come. To blame you lessens that choice, slights their honor, as it implies they were not capable of understanding the journey would have dangers. Neither of them deserves that. Thorin nodded slowly. They fell into silence.
I left him behind, Thorin said,
voice heavy with pain and regret.
I didn't know how badly he was injured. Without an elf, my nephew would have died. I wouldn't have even known it until long after.
Balin grimaced. There was no absolution he could offer on that. Only Keely could. Unknowing him, he would. Feely would be the harder sell, for nothing brought out his fierce protectiveness more than an injury to his beloved little brother.
I think that should have been our first clue that something was amiss with you, Balin started after a moment.
Not choosing to leave him in Lake Town to heal, I don't actually disagree with that decision. He was badly injured, and we were running out of time. It was how and when you did it that should have been the clear sign. You loved that boy fiercely. Yet rather than talk to him privately before we left our lodgings, you waited until we were loading the boat. Instead of explaining it to him alone, you did it in front of an audience. That changed it from being a genuine concern from a loving uncle into a cold, shameful, embarrassing dismissal that he didn't deserve, no matter the words you used.
Thorin closed his eyes and nodded, pained.
I know, he replied. And you're right. Feely's anger at me over it is as much from my handling as my decision. He said plenty on the subject already.
Surprisingly, Balin hadn't heard about that.
Feely is your heir, Balin said. It is his right. No, his duty to tell you when he feels you are being unjust. It just so happened that the first time involved his little brother, and you got the angry, defensive older brother rather than the resolved but level-headed heir.
Thorin smiled wryly.
I never would have dared to speak to my father or my grandfather that way, he said, or the way Keely did before we joined the battle. It's better, I think, that they feel that they can, that they know they must do what is right, rather than merely what I would command.
Balin smiled softly at that.
Aye, he agreed. The boys know you love them, and while they hate disappointing you, they don't fear you. And that's good. They shouldn't.
Thorin nodded.
That would be the greatest failure I could imagine, he admitted. One I don't think I could ever forgive myself for.
There was something there, something he wasn't quite admitting to. Only a lifetime of knowing Thorin helped Balin to understand.
They don't, Balin said. Thorin curled his hands into his fists on his lap. After the way I behaved with the gold sickness, he started in a stricken-sounding whisper.
Balin carefully tightened his grip on Thorin's shoulder.
Thorin, if either of them felt they had to be afraid of you, you'd know it, he assured. Keely wouldn't have dared challenge you that way if he thought he need to be afraid of you. Feely wouldn't have demanded to be allowed to sit at your bedside when he was first told he could spend time out of his sickbed if he was afraid of you. They know you, and they know how you acted in the mountain isn't you.
Gazing at his sleeping nephew, Thorin gave a sad, tired smile.
I hope you're right, he said.
Noting the wariness in every line of Thorin's body, Balin knew it was time for him to get some rest.
Come on, Balin urged. Be a good example for the boys and rest, properly, in your designated bed.
Thorin huffed.
You're as bad as Oin, he grumbled.
Balin grinned at that.
Someone has to try to get you to listen, he replied. It's my job.
Snorting, Thorin replied.
As you remind me, frequently.
Still grinning, Balin said,
You're the one who gave me the job. Thorin smiled, soft and real.
Aye, my friend, he agreed. I did. Thank you.
Balin's grin softened into a genuine smile.
You're welcome, he replied. Now to bed with you. You still have some healing to do.
He herded his king back to bed and stayed until he was sure Thorin was actually going to rest. Then he moved on to the next tent. There was still one more stubborn son of Durin to check on before he sought his supper and his own bed.
The end. Thank you for listening.